This is Citizens Council Forum, America's number one public affairs program, where prominent Americans report to the nation on important issues. This week, the series of discussions is presented coast to coast by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, with the cooperation of public-spirited broadcasters who share our belief that Americans must be informed to remain free. Now, from Washington, here is the producer of Citizens Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Citizens Council Forum. We're very happy to have on the program today Mr. Roy V. Harris of Augusta, Georgia. Mr. Harris is president of the Citizens Councils of America. He's had a distinguished career in public service in the state of Georgia, having served as Speaker of the Georgia House of Representatives and currently as a member of the Board of Regents of the state university system in Georgia. Roy, it's a real pleasure to have you back on the program again.
Thank you, Dick, and I'm delighted to have the opportunity.
Mr. Harris, the Citizens Councils of America have just concluded an annual leadership conference in Jackson, Mississippi, and I'd like to get your summation of some of the reports brought to your attention at this meeting. Do you believe that there is a keener interest in the racial problem in the North now than there was, say, last year or 3 or 4 years ago?
Yes, there's no doubt that the white people of the North are beginning to appreciate what we call the Negro problem, and to know some of the evils of race mixing. Every survey that has been made recently shows that the people of the northern cities are becoming worried about the possibility of having their neighborhood schools destroyed. They have had segregation based upon the racial pattern. Then they have neighborhood schools, and if the school is located in an all-white neighborhood, then they have all-white schools. If it's located in an all-Negro neighborhood, they have all-Negro children in their schools. And it's only the schools that are located along the border lines that have integration. And most of the schools have segregated, and as a matter of fact, the NAACP charges that there is more segregation in the North today than there was 9 years ago. I think that's true because the tendency has been as Negroes move into a community, the white people move out. And the schools now are becoming, rapidly becoming resegregated. Now, the Negro organizations have been threatening to move into these areas and trying to destroy the neighborhood school and trying to move colored children into white areas and white children into colored areas in order to get a what they call a balance of population in the school system. All of this is waking the white people up. The other thing that's having a lot to do with it is what they call the open occupancy in the neighborhoods. Under the open occupancy theory, they guarantees that Negroes may have a right to buy residences in any community in which they see fit, and these people don't like the idea of having Negroes move into their neighborhood. Every survey shows that the white people in the northern cities feel very kindly towards the Negro. They believe in a lot of the so-called civil rights that the Negro is asking for, but every one of them say that they don't want a Negro living next door or in their community. They fear for the safety of their families, and they fear for the value of their property.
In other words, in the Deep South, where the Negro and white communities are intermingled geographically, where you have a checkerboard pattern of living in your southern cities, legal segregation has been the only way to keep the schools from being racially mixed.
That's correct.
But in the North, they have had the theory of integration, but because of the neighborhood school concept, they have actually had, for the most part, as much segregation as has occurred in the South.
That's right. They have just as much segregation as we do. Now, after 9 years, we find that there's only token integration in the Deep South, and a very small token integration at that, and that there is more segregation in the North today than there was 9 years ago.
9 years ago being the time of the Supreme Court's integration decision.
That's right. So I believe that the tide of sentiment in favor of what we call the biracial society has turned in our favor. Now, after all, when you analyze it, we've always had a biracial society in America. Now, the proposition of race mixing means that we destroy that biracial system and create a mongrel race of people. That's where it leads. It leads to intermarriage and the creation of a mongrel race instead of a biracial society.
A recent episode concerning the University of Georgia sort of bears that out, doesn't
That's
it?
That's right. The first Negro girl to ever graduate from the University of Georgia married a white boy, and neither her and his people have disowned him, and he's an outcast, and as a matter of fact, the couple will be outcasts.
No matter where they choose to live in this
That's
country.
Right.
Well, now, Mr. Harris, there have been a number of recent articles. The Alsop's article in the Saturday Evening Post is one example. A number of recent surveys reported in U.S. News and World Report showing that the Northerner might be in favor, as you say, of certain so-called civil rights for Negroes, but certainly does not want to be forced into an intimate association, either on the job or next door in a next-door neighbor relationship, or mixing his children with large numbers of Negroes in the school systems.
Well, all of these surveys disclose one thing, that the average Northerner is in favor of a lot of these rights. But when it comes to putting the Negro next door to him, he's against it. And he's against destroying his neighborhood school, and he's in favor of keeping his segregated residential areas and his community schools segregated.
There was a very interesting lawsuit reported on. In fact, two recent federal court cases seem to be highly significant in this field. One to which I refer took place in Brooklyn, in New York, where a group of white parents went into federal court and succeeded in overturning an ordered moving of their children. They were going to take the white children and put them on buses and carry them several miles in order to achieve integration in a school which at that time was predominantly Negro.
That's correct. And then you have the incident in Chicago where the superintendent of schools resigned because the school board overrode his policies and sought to destroy the neighborhood school concept. And finally, sentiment was so strong in against the school board until they had to reverse their policy and take the school superintendent back. Then you have the case of the lady who was running for the school board in Boston, Massachusetts. And the NAACP demanded of her that she agreed to do away with the concept of the community school. And she took a position that she would not do so, she would protect them. And she won, and her position was simply the same as our Southern position, that she favored segregation in the schools, and she won by an overwhelming majority.
As a matter of fact, isn't it the case that every time this issue of racial segregation has appeared on a ballot recently, the side favoring segregation has won? I know that even in Cambridge, Maryland, which was occupied by National Guard troops and was under martial law for a period of some 60 days prior to the election, when it came up for a vote on whether Negroes should be accorded access to all restaurants and so on and so forth in that city, the issue was defeated.
The people vote against race mixing every time they get an opportunity. And I think another recent example is in Detroit, Michigan, when city council had before it a proposed ordinance to put into effect the open occupancy rule in Detroit. And the people got up an enormous petition and presented to them, and they created such a furor about it and such sentiment until the city council had to reverse its position.
I believe that in just a few days' time, they succeeded in securing the signatures of some 40,000 property owners to this petition.
That is correct, and they are now circulating a statewide petition in which they are undertaking to force the state to change its state policy. And all of the magazines and surveys show that as a result of this campaign that the governor of the state has suddenly become very unpopular, and so has the president of the United States. All they were both heretofore have been very popular in Detroit, Michigan.
One recent federal court decision in your home state of Georgia, Mr. Harris, seems to be of more than passing significance. That is in Savannah, Georgia, where Judge Scarlett ruled in the Stell case that there are measurable and significant differences scientifically between white and Negro children, which means, in effect, that a segregated system of education functions in the best interests of the children of both races.
That's correct, and they introduced a lot of scientific testimony from scientists all over the country that there is a great difference between the two races, and that that difference is such until it's impossible to have an integrated system that without doing great harm to the white children.
And of course, since the Supreme Court ordered integration in the schools in Washington, D.C., the white residents of Washington have been voting the only way they could, with their feet.
That's correct. There's
been a mass out-migration of whites from the District of Columbia.
The people in the District of Columbia have fled the district like they would have fled the plague.
Well, Mr. Harris, where do you believe this is all going to end?
Well, I think some of these days we're going to see sanity restored in this country, and these wildcat liberals who are trying to ram race mixing down the throats of the white people against their will are going to be voted out of office, and we're going to find sanity restored in this country, and we'll get back to the old system that our forefathers lived under, that we have practiced all in this country always. You know, someone has recently said that we are white because our ancestors believed in and practiced segregation. And that didn't go just for the last two or three generations. It means that our ancestors have practiced segregation from the very beginning of time.
Do you believe that the net effect of this series of demonstrations throughout the nation, in the North as well as in the South, the past year, has helped or hurt the integrationists in furthering their efforts?
I think it's hurt the integrationists because it has brought the problems and the evils of race mixing to the attention of the people of the nation, and they now understand it and know something about it.
I know that you share with me the conviction that if people will only take time to study the question and inform themselves, there's no doubt about how the majority would decide.
That is correct.
Mr. Harris, thank you very much for being with us. Be looking forward to having you again very soon.
Thank you, sir.
Our guest on today's edition of Citizens Council Forum has been Mr. Roy V. Harris of Augusta, Georgia, President of the Citizens Councils of America. Join us again next week at the same time when we'll be back with another program in your Citizens Council Forum series. Till then, Dick Morphew speaking coast to coast, saying thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
Citizens Council Forum is dedicated to the preservation of our American tradition of freedom. If you agree that individual liberty and constitutional government must be preserved, if you want to do something positive and worthwhile to help protect our freedom, then we want to hear from you. Just write to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We'll be happy to send you, without obligation, literature showing how you can help. Address your card or letter to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. America's number one public affairs series is presented coast to coast each week by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, assisted by a grant from the Mississippi State Sovereignty Commission, an official agency of the state of Mississippi. Join us next week for another informative discussion and remind your friends to tune in. It's time to take a stand. By working together, we can and will safeguard our freedom.